Blog Talk Radio.
My children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here within me. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'd rather stand up next to you than defend her till today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there is no doubt I love this land. God bless her today. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'm next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the U.S.
What is conservatism? Broadly construed, conservatism is a social, cultural, and political doctrine that emphasizes the value of traditional institutions and practices. In fact, conservatism seeks to promote and to preserve traditional social institutions and practices. And it is important to note that conservatives tend to favor institutions and practices that guarantee stability and evolved gradually. This explains why adherents of conservatism often oppose modernism and seek a return to traditional values, though different groups of conservatives may choose different traditional values to preserve. The central tenets of conservatism may vary in relation to the status quo of the culture and civilization in which it appears. For example, in Western culture, conservatives seek to preserve a range of institutions such as organized religion, parliamentary government, and property rights. It is important to note that conservatism is a preference for the historically inherited rather than the abstract and ideal. This preference has traditionally rested on an organic conception of society, that is, on the belief that society is not merely a loose collection of individuals, but a living organism comprising closely connected, interdependent members. Conservatives thus favor institutions and practices that have evolved gradually and are manifestations of continuity and stability. Here, government's responsibility is to be the servant, not the master, of existing ways of life, and politicians must therefore resist the temptation to transform society and politics. This suspicion of government activism distinguishes conservatism not only from radical forms of political thought, but also from liberalism, which is a modernizing, anti-traditionalist movement dedicated to correcting the evils and abuses resulting from the misuse of social and political power. In The Devil's Dictionary, the American writer Ambrose Bierce cynically, but not inappropriately, defined the conservative as a statesman who is enamored of existing evils, as distinguished from the liberal, who wishes to replace them with others. Conservatism must also be distinguished from the reactionary outlook, which duration of a previous, and usually outmoded, political or social order.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well this evening, and we're just about ready to go.
Yes, this is Season 6, Episode 27, What Does It Mean to Be a Conservative in America Today? It is Thursday, January 18th, 2024. And it's now 7:36 p.m. on the West Coast, 9:36 p.m. in Michigan and the East Coast. We're glad you could join us and everything. So has conservatism lost its true meaning in America today? Trumpism is not conservatism. Every time Republicans messed the economy and America up in the past, it took a liberal progressive Democrat to fix what was broken. Since 1932 to today, Republicans have done their best to ruin America. What is the real meaning of conservatism in 21st century America? If you're a conservative, what does it mean to you? Everyone is welcome to participate regardless of your political beliefs. Do you ever run for political office? Call in. Let's talk about it. Number to call, 515-605-9802. Say first name and where you're calling from. No speaking over the host nor any other caller who might be online at the same time as you. Thanks for sharing across social media and following us on Facebook. It means a lot to us as we march towards election 2024. Visit our website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. where we will have merchandise on sale soon, different blog articles, and many more things that may interest you. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, Laurie, so what is conservatism?
Oh, geez. You know, I've asked that question so many times because when someone tells, I'm a conservative, I just kind of... I may have a puzzled look on my face because I don't really understand how a Republican can be conservative. I mean, the Republicans, I mean, let's say, I know that they're devoted to supposedly small government. They're really big on protecting, you know, your individual rights, your liberties. But if you think about what's happened in our country, we have lost, women have lost abortion rights, and there are Republican women that have lost their abortion rights. So how can that be a conservative thing? It isn't. I mean, that's more big government than you can imagine, isn't it?
Exactly.
In my opinion,
yes, it is.
You know, so, and didn't that just take away your individual liberty, so to speak? Of course it did. So this whole notion that Republicans are conservative is a bunch of hogwash. It's just like every other term that they come up with that they use, you know, like they call libtards and, you know, things like that, because that's what they do. You know, they're good at labeling, but they don't stand behind their labels, that's for sure. So, you know, talk a little bit about it, you know. Talk about what these conservatives do. You know, how many recessions
yes.
have we had under mm-hmm. conservatives?
Mm-hmm.
How many
yes, so,
wars have we had, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So the party behind the war on drugs, you know, Richard Nixon and later Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and every Republican
mm-hmm.
since. The Patriot Act was under George W. Bush, the first and second Iraq wars by both Bushes. Massive
mm-hmm.
police funding, eliminating right to abortion, don't say gay laws, and school book bans, even banning the dictionary in Florida now. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're devoted to limiting the power of the government, so they say. And
mm-hmm.
as you rightly said, what is more big government than going and limiting people's freedoms? You know, like,
yeah.
you know, going to get a book at the library. To make sense of this word conservative, we have to dig deeper than headlines and slogans, because Republicans are good at, you know, using slogans, catchy slogans,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the attention span of the culture,
mm-hmm.
basically, is that of a gnat, you know? Like a 30-second
yep.
soundbite here, a 60-second soundbite mm-hmm. there. They don't delve into, you know, what is behind what Republicans are trying to do. So like a lot of our political vocabulary, left and right, the political meaning of conservative came up as a result of the French Revolution in 1789, when democratic radicals deposed the monarchy and the aristocracy. And soon after, in 1818, defenders of the French old regime founded a pro-monarchy journal called Le Conservateur. That was the first time conservative was used in a modern political sense, and the magazine listed what it stood for its first issue, religion, the king, liberty, and upstanding people. So these were the things under threat from the new society formed after the revolution in France, and modern-day conservatives don't necessarily want to protect or conserve the same things as their 19th century brethren. Not too
mm-hmm.
many Americans will admit to being monarchists, but they do share a fundamental dilemma with their French forebears, defining yourself in the terms of an old order and its enemies, making it difficult to explain the sort of feature and future you want to build. So on one hand, conservatives defend tradition and duty, and on the other hand, the definition of these things shift with every generation. And what good is a tradition if it changes all the damn time, you know? So, for
mm-hmm.
example, a perfect example in modern-day America, Ronald Reagan, when the Mariel Boat mm-hmm. people from Cuba came in 1981, he welcomed them with open arms, and at that time, Republicans were pro-immigration and what have you. And, you know, being worshippers of Reagan, the Republican Party, you'd think that, you know, they'll moderate the tone and say, hey, okay, America's built up of, you know, immigrants, and the real Americans are Native Americans. So instead of, you know, dividing people and being, you know, racist, why not welcome people from other lands, you know,
mm-hmm.
That make up the fabric of America, you know? And today, what we have is basically the Republican Party and steroids of Trumpism. And Trumpism is not conservatism. So,
no.
you know, that's a perfect example of, you know, they saying they want to keep the status quo and gradually and in increments change, you know. And conservatives tend to favor institutions and practice guarantee stability and involving gradually. Well, that's not the case with today's modern Republican Party. And, you know, as Edmund Burke, the Irishman, he authored this book, Reflections of the Revolution in France, polemic against revolution that has become the foundational text of English language conservatives. Burke didn't share the backward-looking attitude of the French newspaper Le Conservateur. Burke conceded that societies needed to transform over time, but he argued for the principle of social change that followed the examples of change in nature or families, that is, slowly over generations and never all at once. So, you know, Burke thought society should conserve what is worthy about past traditions, making judgments about what should and shouldn't endure. You know, so as Burke wrote, and I quote, "A state without the means of some change is without the means of its conservation." You know, and in other words, a society and its traditions cannot endure unless it can also be changed. So, you know, they're trying to have it both ways. You want, you know, gradual evolving of society and stability and incremental change, or you want to, like, make up your own rules as you go. That's what, you know, Republicans are about. And DeSantis has basically destroyed the state of Florida with his stupidity and lack of leadership and moral clarity. You know, so he's an example, a perfect example of, you know, somebody who calls himself a conservative, but does something totally opposite of what conservative means. And like I said, Trump is not a conservative. He never was. Trump is just for Trump. And as long as, you know, he can get money from what he's doing, then that's what he's about. You know, Reagan was a conservative. George H.W. Bush was a conservative. Nixon was a conservative. You know, moderate but lean conservative. You know, so, you know, the true sense of the word conservative has lost its meaning. And, you know, it reflects in today's Republican Party. It's, you know, I mean, to be a conservative, what are you conserving? You know, that's what I ask somebody if they tell me that they're conservative. And to begin with, the people who are asked, they don't know what conservative even mean. You know, so it's like, they're just like regurgitating the garbage of right-wing media, especially the radio. You know, what has been your experiences in that?
You know, when someone says they're conservative and they're Republican, like I said, I basically just kind of think to myself, what are you conserving? Water? I don't think so. Money? So, are you conserving my rights? I don't think so. So it's just like you said, it's just another word that they have made up. You know, they want limited government. You know, they want the rule of law. They want peace through strength. Since when do they do peace through strength? Most of the time when a war is started, let's take Afghanistan under George W. Bush. I mean, how was that peace through strength? That was not. That was horrendous. You know, they want free markets, no regulations. What are they conserving? Human dignity. What are they conserving? They don't care about human dignity at all. That's what they do to the money. So what do they conserve? It's a bullshit word. That's the only way I can describe it. Lie. Another lie, just everything else that they do, you know, and say. They twist their words. They, you know, I even listened today to a podcast, and they are so good at just twisting their words, and they take one sentence and they take a couple words out of that sentence and they just twist them around to make them sound logical in their own minds, but they're not. So what do you do with people like that? You know, they're not conserving our rights. They're taking away rights. They're not conserving. They don't care about conserving energy. Hell, they want to drill, baby, drill. They do the exact opposite of what we think conservative, something conservative is. When I think of conservative, I think of conserving money, you know, trying to budget money, that conserve money, conserve gas so you're not driving all over and spending, you know, all kinds of money on gas. Try to conserve your, you know, like when you're driving around, try to make your route so it's all around each other. I mean, if you want to do that sort of thing, you know, you conserve water, you know, because you have to think about the future for everyone else. You know, there's so many things that you can conserve that are logical things, but they don't conserve anything that's logical, anything that makes sense. Not in my eyes, it doesn't, at least. So it's a bunch of BS. That's all it is.
Yeah, and
when they talk about small government, and then they start taking away rights, like your abortion rights and, you know, everything else. How is that smaller government? You can't get any bigger government than that. You cannot.
The only
other thing they can do is start shooting people on the street. That's it. I mean, how much bigger government can you? You can't. So it's all bullshit.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, basically with the war in Iraq, you know, the artist sings strength, peace through strength. But that war, for example, was started on a bogus claim that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and what have you, you know, and he was in cahoots with bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. And even though all the evidence show and led to, you know, that not being the case, it's about 17 or 18 times that, you know, the Bush administration changed their reasoning for invading Iraq and everything. And it was just bogus. And these people throw words out there hoping it stick. And like I said, a 30 seconds meter soundbite is what really grabs people, because, you know, people don't really understand, you know, what's going on, basically. They don't have any, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't have any critical thinking, you know? And, you know, a difference between a liberal and a conservative. A conservative believes in, where is this thing? I have no notes, sir. Okay, so, yeah, so conservative believe in hierarchy and order, but yet still, if they believe in hierarchy and order, why did January 6, 2021 happen? You know, and a next thing that conservatives, the fear, lower orders, meaning people who, you know, didn't get a head start in life, you know, this white privilege that they have, they were born into, you know, the lower orders, meaning people of color, women, gays, what have you, you know, so it's like, you know, like, okay, I want to preserve things that institutionalize racism and what have you, because it helps me move forward while it keep you down, you know. And, you know, to be fair, all political persuasions define themselves in part by what they're against, but it's especially true of conservatism, whose very name signals commitment to conserving something being lost or taken away. And this helps explain a never-ending identity crisis that shapes so much of the culture of American conservatives, which is engaged in constant arguments about what it means to be a true conservative. So the question is asked, why am I conservative? It also explains why so many of the right battle phantoms like wokeness, critical race theory, the gay agenda. There's no gay agenda, for example. And if you ask any of them to describe what wokeness is, they don't know. You know, so, and critical race theory, they're saying, is being taught in high schools and even below high school, which is absolute and complete nonsense. So again, that usually find these wedge issues, you know, to distract people and voters and Americans from what really matters, healthcare, you know, the you know, fighting inflation, you know, given tax cuts to the wealthy, you know, the climate change is an important one. Women's rights, as you spoke about and everything, you know, so, you know, these are things that Republicans who, you know, muddy up the word conservative, you know, they're not really true conservatives. They're just opportunists and everything. You know, so we're going to take some calls now and everything. The number to call, 515-605-9802. Say first name and where you're calling from. It's season 6, episode 27. What does it mean to be a conservative in America today? And yes, this is a liberal progressive show. We're trying to break down what the conservative movement is all about in America, comparing it to Eisenhower days, coming into today. Every president since Richard Nixon has, you know, branded himself as a conservative. But over the years and over those presidential terms, you know, the meaning of conservative changed. It depends on, you know, what corporations want, you know, or what rich people want. You know, it's not about the rich, the 1%, you know, and wealthy corporations. They define and, you know, steer in the direction what conservatism is. You know, so we're going to take this call now. I think this is Elaine calling from Michigan. Hello, Elaine. What's cooking?
Oh, nothing much. Good evening. Hi. When I first encountered conservatism, it mm-hmm. meant fiscally. The Republicans mm-hmm. were fiscally conservative. Mm-hmm. They had a little bit of a Unitarian philosophy to leave people alone. In other words, you had rules and regulations for the health, safety, and welfare of the people, but not to hamper them. The rules were written on paper, so therefore, rules to general society was bendable. That's what conservative at the beginning. That's what I thought the Republican Party was. Through the years, the Republican Party, in my opinion, has become religious, capitalistic, and what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of it. It means what I'm looking for means that you're better than anybody else. My mind went blank on that word.
Is it classist, the word you're looking for?
Classist, yes, classist. That it seems like the conservative now, they're classist. I've got mine, and to hell with you. And there's no nice way to put it, because that is the attitude they have. I've got mine, and to hell with you. And to me, those are two different animals. They evolve to an absolutely different animal. I think that if a person is smart, they're everything. They're moderate. Mm-hmm. They're conservative. Oh, I forgot. The conservative has become religious. We don't mix religion and government. And just because you're religious, who's religion? That's the next question. Who's religion? You know, I recently read something that said, quit praying for peace. You caused the chaos. Fix it. God, your God, somebody else's God, they didn't cause the chaos. You did. Fix it.
You can't ask conservatives and Republicans to fix it, because that's the way you make the problem worse, you know? You know, like smokes and mirrors. That's how the govern. And, you know, they can't govern, basically, because, there's always infighting, and two, they're open-minded, you know, and they hate women. You know, I mean, when I say they hate women, I think they really hate women more than how they hate gays. You know, a woman should know her place and be spoken to. You know, speak when you're spoken to. That's like the mantra for the Republicans. But when do you think that the GOP turned into this this monstrosity, where, you know, religion came in and it was all about money, it was about me culture? I think it's way before Reagan. In 1980,
It got its foothold during the Reagan administration. I have been cleaning the basement because I have a massive repair that's going to be coming about in the next couple of days. I ran across something which I forgot about. Back in 1994, the Heritage Foundation was working on the people that were in local government. I ran across papers after papers after papers of correspondence sent to the council that I happened to be a part of at the time. And it didn't make any sense to me, so most of them stayed in their envelope. But cleaning out yesterday, I decided Heritage Foundation. I started opening up and reading them. Boy, my God, I didn't read them back then. But they started on the people back then. I didn't need their cockamamie ideas. So mm-hmm, it was just mm-hmm. as well that they were left in the envelope. But they started on local government back then. I don't know what they did in the, mm-hmm. in the higher up government. I would assume they did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I can argue, or I will argue, that modern day conservatism was bastardized back in 1930s when we had the Great Depression and Herbert Hoover was president. And this trickle-down economics, they didn't have a name for it back then, where corporates get big tax, corporations get big tax cuts, the wealthy didn't pay their fair share, and it depressed the economy. And it was just a free-for-all for the gilded age and the gilded people who have their bread buttered on both sides. And everybody was just left behind. Everybody was left to struggle. And with the incorporation of big money in politics and the influence of individual rich people, the Republican Party embraced that and forgot the working class man, the blue-collar worker, the mother with three kids. Everybody was just, know your place, and
Harding, Coolidge, and Hoover.
Yes,
it was those 12 years that
mm-hmm.
really tore the country apart.
Mm-hmm. 16 years, actually. Yes.
16.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's
mm-hmm.
just heard, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
You're right. When I think back mm-hmm. to my history classes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Theodore Roosevelt that came in, and they
mm-hmm.
thought he led everybody believe he was going to do the same thing, and he turned
mm-hmm.
out to be, in today's thoughts, he turned out to be a blooming liberal, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He was national parks. He
mm-hmm.
he busted up all of the monopolies. He
mm-hmm.
busted up
mm-hmm.
Exxon Oil, and he did a marvelous job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nelson Rockefeller really hated him back in the day.
Yeah.
Because after Warren G. Harding was assassinated by this lunatic, before that, when Harding was running, they said, okay, how can we calm down and quiet this guy, Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt from Oyster Bay, New York? And, back then, the vice president said carried no weight, no clout, no nothing. He just, you own a job, basically, was parliamentary proceedings in the Senate, where you vote for tied votes and what have you, and ceremonial duties, very boring, Lo and behold, this guy came, shot Harding, killed him, and Roosevelt became president. And within, I'd say, a year or two of his presidency, he just, backtracked everything that Harding did. And Harding was corrupt, but Roosevelt put all these corporations in line and monopoly busting, like you said,
mm-hmm.
And... it was the fair deal or the square deal, as you said, helped really a lot of Americans and getting a real shot of the American dream and what have you. So, Lori, what do you think about the bastardization of the word conservative?
It has evolved into a word that. It's the meaning is not the meaning. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you think of something when I think of conservative, I think of trying to save things. Not be too generous, but
mm-hmm.
Serve it so you have some for later. That's what I
mm-hmm.
think of a conservative. Think of a conservative,
mm-hmm.
and maybe. Trying to put, let's say you're building a structure, and so you want to
mm-hmm.
put use the best equipment for it, so you don't
mm-hmm.
have to redo it,
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
things like that. But
mm-hmm.
it's not anymore. It is not. They don't conserve anything. They're playing games, with the border, you know, President Biden has tried how many times to give them money for the border, and it's never good enough. And nothing is ever good enough. And they keep saying that, you know, that he's not, he doesn't support the border the way they want to support the border, which is a lie. So they're not conservative here because it's, they're spending more money on trying to keep the border safe, and they're not, you know, on border patrol and things like that instead of fixing the problem. So how is that conservative? It's not. So there are so many examples of it, you know, that we could go through. But, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. I mean, it's almost a waste of time, in my opinion, because being conservative is no longer what it used to be. It's not.
Well,
don't you want to conserve, you know, to you know, not instead of throwing away, you know, instead of at the store, let's say, you know, you're given, you know, 5 bags. No, I'll just take 3 bags. I can put this in 3 bags or bring your own bag. That's what a conservative in government should be doing and thinking about, ways to conserve, to save our country, you know, save our environment, save money, just to help people. I don't know. I don't know how else to explain it. But the way it is right now, it's all wrong. The word is not being used properly.
Well, I can give an example of what I would think a conservative fiscally would fit this definition. You have two farmers, and they both had a drought, and they had the locust come through and damage their crop. So, you know, a fair and just government is going to help them out. So the government lends or helps both of these farmers. The one farmer goes out the next spring and he plants everything like he's supposed to. Still couldn't quite make it, but he worked hard. The other farmer put in a backyard pool with his money, and him and his wife and the kids went to Disney World. Now the season comes up for the crops, and they're both got their hands out. Well, I'm sorry, but the man that put in the pool and went to Disney World, he gets nothing. The man that had another crop and still needs a little help, he still should get the help. To me, that would be fiscally conservative. If you don't use the money for what it's allocated for, too bad. But that is not what is happening now. It's we don't give a damn how bad you are. We don't care if you're drowning. We're not going to throw you a life raft or we're not even going to help you. We're not going to save you. Drown.
Yeah, how I interpret conservative is, you know, you're on your own. Pull yourself up by the bootstrap. You know, compared to Democrats and liberals and progressives who say, we're in this together, we'll suffer together, we'll fight back together, we'll build back better together, you know. And, you know, the true bastardization came in the 1960s. I don't know if you remember Claire Connor's book, Wrapped in a Flag. That's such a great book and everything. I think people listening should go out and get that book. Wrapped in a Flag by Claire Connor, where she described the John Birch Society and Fred Koch, who had billions of dollars, who hated JFK, and JFK have the Pioneer Program and other great programs, and he was pro, you know, giving black people the right to vote, and pro civil rights. And it really, you know, rocked the foundation of America because that was true change. That's what JFK was about. He was about busting up the CIA. He was about, you know, spreading freedom, you know, and, you know, containing communism because we're in the Cold War and everything, you know. But, you know, I think Koch, Charles and David Koch's father, Fred Koch, and the Christian movement through the John Birch Society back in the 60s really, really threw a wrench in American politics and divided us as a nation. Democrats were always willing, up to this day, to work with conservative Republicans, but like you say in the border security thing, they voted against mm-hmm. that thing. They don't want to work with President Biden. We'll have a budget year coming up, and hopefully Speaker Johnson encourage his caucus to, you know, work with Democrats to avoid a government shutdown. So, once, you know, Republicans don't get the way, it's no, no, no. They want the way 100% of the time or nothing happened. Gone are the days, in the days of Tip O'Neill, when Tip O'Neill, a liberal Democrat from Massachusetts, and Ronald Reagan, a diehard conservative from California, you know, put away the differences and work together for a common purpose, make America, you know, move forward together, you know, so... You know, it's really, really, it's like, you know, Trumpism and white nationalism on steroids, basically. And it's really mm-hmm. sad that, you know, we reach a stage in America, you know, where we can't even compromise and come to terms and have an agreement, you know, to make everybody or the majority of people, you know, reap the benefits of politicians and Capitol Hill working together. So we'll have one more call. You know, coming in from Khalil. And when you call in, please, you know, no background noise, no eating on the phone, no nothing. 515-605-9802, the number to call. Say first name and where you're calling from. Khalil, welcome to the show. What's cooking, brother?
Nothing much. I agree with you on the right wing because basically there was a guy named Mike Cutler who used to be with INS. Mm-hmm. He doesn't agree with immigration reform, but he's one of the ones that he doesn't want immigration reform, but then he wants to say nothing is being done about the border.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing. And then, like, with conservatism, it's been bastardized, just like FTP has been bastardized. You know what I mean by
mm-hmm.
FTP? You know,
yeah,
you know
that?
What I mean?
Mm-hmm.
F the police.
What's FTP?
F the police, that's been bastardized, too.
Yes.
Like,
mm-hmm.
when he... It's been bastardized by criminals and troublemakers, which makes me angry. So I understand your
mm-hmm.
frustration.
See, mm-hmm.
I hate when
mm-hmm.
people take things selfishly and use it for bad stuff. It's like they pervert
mm-hmm.
it for inappropriate things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, for example, Khalil, they want to, like, give fund more police. And the police, what you notice, you know, that they're militarizing, you know?
Yeah.
And... when you have a Black Lives Matter protest, for example, what you have is people who not belonging to the Black Lives Movement coming in, you know, breaking and looting and setting things afire and, you know, making the Black Lives Movement crowd look bad. And so, oh, look at that, Sid. That's why police need more funding and better equipment and militarized equipment to handle these savages, basically. Their words, not mine. And
right.
when you have something like, was it Charlottesville, where the white nationalists,
yeah.
you know, ran over that young woman? You
yeah.
know, the police just stood there doing nothing. We'll see different examples across the country where, you know, you will not replace us, for example, where these high society people, white people mostly, you know, saying with tiki torches, like, you will not replace us, you know, and the police just stood
yeah.
there not doing anything, and they're instigating, you know, minorities who, you know, was like, were standers by, you know, looking at what's going on and everything, you know, so
yeah.
the whole hypocrisy, the whole thing is just astonishing.
Yeah, also, I found out, I was watching Ghost of the Miss, what's it, A Time to Kill. I don't know if you've seen that. It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically saying that we've came a long way, but it basically tells us that we have a lot more long ways to go. And
mm-hmm.
Basically, it was a lot of racial despair in the town, turmoil, and there was FBI agent, they got Sandra Bullock's character off a tree. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
who is this man? But he was an FBI
mm-hmm.
agent. And she went
mm-hmm.
to the hospital. And they usually, like, I know back in the 1960s when they had racism and murderers, hate crimes, they had to call the FBI in, and they depended on the agent. See, I didn't respect Hoover, mm-hmm. but I respected mm-hmm. The people, some of the people that were under Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know, one question I need to ask, as far as like mm-hmm. enforcing civil rights laws and as far as being under the DOJ, is the DOJ mm-hmm. international as well or just federal?
No, I believe
I think it's just federal, really. Mm-hmm. Justice
right,
Department is federal.
Because I was talking to a person that said they were a criminal investigator, and they basically said that they investigated crimes, like hate crimes and terrorism and stuff like that, crimes against people.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
They said that they were with the Department of Justice, so they were probably with the FBI or ATF.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more the line of FBI, ATF, you know, Homeland Security, you know, and when these organizations bring cases against people, that's when the Department of Justice take it up and prosecute, you know, so.
Yeah, because, mm-hmm. That's the thing, you know, and sometimes you have to call the federal police in, and you have to
mm-hmm.
be careful what federal police you call in, but. Like, I actually seen a situation that made me really angry, not only angry with the cops, but angry with the people who supported the officers. They
mm-hmm.
roughed up a 10-year-old because he ran at a police officer, but they didn't, it's not like that. I didn't have any problem with them restraining him, but they took
mm-hmm.
it too far, and I got really
mm-hmm.
angry when they yelled at the parents to get back. So I basically... You don't know what I asked. You don't know what I you may not know how angry I was, but I was
mm-hmm.
told that FBI might step in for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something the FBI could step in about that if the police chief's not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was really
yeah.
mad, and I basically I cursed those officers, and I cursed the chief that left the department.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It made
okay,
me more mad
so,
with the cops. Sorry about that. I'll let you go on.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to ask a question. So conservatism, let's say it's a cultural, social, and political philosophy to seek to promote and preserve traditional institutions. You know, first of all, preserve traditional institutions like the FDA, the ones that got that. We're going to talk about that later on. Traditional customs, I can't think of nothing now, but traditional values like the nuclear family, the rule of law, the nation state, property rights. But how can they say that the want to preserve traditional values when, for example, sex scandal after sex scandal is Republicans who believe in a nuclear family, having gay sex, they're obsessed with gay sex, I don't want to outlaw gay sex, even, you know, kill gay people, you know, the belief in a nation state, meaning if you're born here and you're white, then great. If you're from anywhere else and you're not white, go back to where you come from. They believe in a strong military, but yet still, we're all over the world, you know, in different countries trying to spread democracy, quote-unquote democracy. And if you notice, where our military is countries with natural resources through the wazoo, you know, who invaded Iraq, who have tons of oil, who invaded Afghanistan with tons of poppy seed that make drugs, you know. They said they believe in rule of law, but yet still, you have somebody like Donald Trump, who's their front runner, you know. They don't believe in the rule of law. You know, if they believe in the rule of law, January 6th would never happen, where their supporters went there and, like, smashed the place up. You know, property rights, no, that's a no-go, that's silliness, that's total BS, you know. So, I mean, it's just all a mirage, a dog and pony show by these millennial conservative Republicans, you know.
Conservative
yeah.
Republicans have eliminated a lot of the agencies
for the simple reason they want to gain complete power. They want to have a dictatorship with just the chosen soldiers underneath them. They're no different than an organized gang.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give you an example, the IRS. Well, mm-hmm. who does that benefit? The elite.
Mm-hmm.
They
want to
eliminate
exactly.
the IRS. They want to eliminate clean water.
Mm-hmm.
It's just never ending.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So to me, the word conservative means nothing anymore. It means nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a phony word. It's come to me. It means liars who are religious.
And to me, it's centered around the concept of ordered liberty, meaning, you know, ordered liberty is like do as I say, but don't do as I do, you know?
Yeah.
The conservatives believe that a strong state is necessary to ensure law and order. How can you want law and order, but yet still, you know, you're a part of unlawfulness and disorder? Start from the top, Donald Trump. You know, you have the former senator from Idaho who was told tapping in the bathroom, strong Christian conservative, married for many years, with children, and yet still behind closed doors he's having gay sex. Look at the recent example in Florida, the chairman of the Republican Party in Florida with his wife, who's a member of the school board in Saratoga County, where, you know, they're having threesome sex and what have you. I mean, hey, that's your life, you know, have all the sex you want, knock yourself out. You know, they call themselves Christian, but when you try to put your religious dogma on people and tell people how to live, then that's where we'll have the problem, you know, where, you know, you're saying one thing but doing another thing, but yet still you say you're a religious person and a conservative religious person. You know, the whole hypocrisy, the indecency, the lack of moral clarity is just, you know, making you want to vomit. It's disgusting.
Well, I'm getting tired of the so-called religious conservatives changing the meanings of things also. There are places now that have bathrooms that can be used by both sexes.
Mm-hmm.
They are bathrooms with one toilet and one bowl for washing your hands. That means one person goes in there at a time. Yet you will see on social media, they'll say, do you want your daughter in the same bathroom with a man? I mean, you know, I'm just getting so sick and tired of these half-baked, asinine lies.
I'm also
tired of people pretending to care about women and children, but then they don't support child abuse laws. They don't support laws against, like, people. They don't support women's rights, you know, but then when it comes to going against LGBTQ, all of a sudden they care about the women and the children. It's like, don't sit there and pretend to care for people that you don't care for.
Exactly.
At least if you're going to be phony, make up your, be have your priorities in check, at least if you're going to be phony.
Yes. And, you know, a large part of the Republican Party today, the paleoconservatives, you know, they favor more personal and economic freedoms, you know, so there's no regulation. They want to deregulate everything and personal freedom. What's more personal freedom than being who you want to be as an LGBTQ person, you know, or if you don't want to, you know, support any religion per se? You know, that's a personal choice. That's personal freedom. But people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and that idiot from Colorado, Lauren Boebert, they want to have Christianity as a national religion, which is nonsense because America was built off the freedom of religion, the freedom of choice, you know. And again, their Christianity and their religion just bastardized politics. You know, it's just, it's heart-rending, you know? And we've fought these battles in the past, like for a personal freedom is for a woman's right to choose, if she so choose, for health reason, for her personal safety, where she won't die if she have this baby. You know, whatever reason, it is entrenched in the Constitution that you have a freedom of choice. You know, and what's more big government than trying to go inside a woman's vagina and her uterus,
Mom,
to her what to do with her body or what not to do? It's crazy, man. It's it's condescending, and it's vile, and you know, it's what's the word I'm looking for? You know, is that the country? It's contradictory in a way, in a sense. You know.
Well, they want to outlaw the morning after pill. But I don't hear anything mm-hmm. about them outlawing Viagra.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's just plain hypocritical. It's,
mm-hmm.
Everything
mm-hmm.
seems to be one-sided.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think mm-hmm. there's a lot of Republican women are probably sitting back and they're starting to do some thinking. I sure,
mm-hmm.
sure as hell hope so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the next problem I have with paleoconservatives is that they're typically opposing higher taxes and income redistribution. They think it's socialism. They call it socialism. If you ask any paleoconservative, like Sarah Palin, what is socialism, you know, she trip over her tongue. You know, she compare it to communism. You know, it's like these people don't have a grasp of words and what they mean, you know. And, for example, libertarian conservatives support strict laissez-faire policies such as free trade and opposing business regulations and any national bank. And they often oppose environmental regulations, corporate welfare, subsidies, and other areas of economic intervention. But yet still, farmers, you know, get bailed out time and time again. Wall Street get bailed out. All the big corporations get bailed out. But what about the little man with a small business or medium-sized business? You know, corporate welfare is like the biggest problem now, you know? And when we had that program after, COVID-19, where the government gave money to people because everyone was closed down and they need to pay the rent, pay for food, pay for gas, pay for children, upkeep, you know, things like that, pay for mortgage. They say, oh no, you know, what the hell is that? That's welfare, you know? Stop being a nanny state. But yet still, corporations get the biggest welfare. When Donald Trump was president, $7 billion in corporate tax cuts for the wealthy people. You know, it's maddening, you know? And then the turn around every election cycle saying that, oh, it's Democrats' fault. How is it Democrats' fault? But
right.
I digress.
And also another thing is like you have
mm-hmm.
radical ones like Rand Paul who they're so one-sided on gun control. They don't want it for
mm-hmm.
civilians, but as soon as it comes to police, they want to
mm-hmm.
take away military-style weapons from the police and bulletproof vests. But the only
mm-hmm.
reason it is like I can understand that, but don't do it. And then be allowing
mm-hmm.
civilians to have whatever they want. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like,
mm-hmm.
I got kind of upset because I'm not for militarization of the police, but it's like, if a civilian can have an AK-47 that can cause a lot of damage, a police officer
mm-hmm.
should be able to have a AR-15, not an AK, but an AR-15. And it's like, basically, he was even taking it away from tactical officers and criminal investigators.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, I was wondering, let's say the police department, they had something, never mind, when it comes back to you, I'll bring it back up.
Okay, no problem. Let's talk about national conservatism. We know Georgia Maloney, she's new prime minister of Italy, and she's a staunch right-wing white nationalist. And national conservatism is a political term used primarily in Europe to describe a variant of conservatism which concentrates more on national interests than standard conservatism, as well as upholding cultural and ethnic identity. While not being outspoken that ultra-nationalists are supporting a far-right approach. So that has come to America now with Trumpism, where it's a form of national conservatism. And again, the word conservative being bastardized, mixing Trumpism with conservatism, because Trumpism is not conservatism in my eye. But, you know, Trump is trying to uphold, you know, the hegemony where, you know, white people are the majority. So based on ethnicity and cultural differences with immigrants who build this country after slavery and even before slavery, you know, he had a speech a couple weeks back where he was saying about, you know, it's bastardizing the blood of America. I'm paraphrasing here, but what did he say again about, you know, like... Poisoning the blood of America. Why? Because more and more immigrants coming from countries that America messed up during the Cold War, and they're running from the tyranny. That's their home country, because America during the Cold War put in stooges, you know, in government to run the government, you know, because the United States, through the work of the CIA, knew what was going on. But because this particular leader is pro-America, I said, okay, you may be a son of a bitch, but you're my son of a bitch. You may fight communism, you may fight all left-wing type politics and socialism, you know. And so they're staying there for years, and people who oppose them were either murdered or they can't find them to this day. It happened in Chile. It happened in Jamaica. It happened in Haiti especially. You know, all these different Caribbean and Latin American countries. And so now people are coming in droves, you know, where they say, hey, I want a fresh new start, a better opportunity and everything. This is the land of the free and economic opportunity, so to speak. You know, but people like Trump and Republicans in general, they're so fraught with hate and contempt for people who are not, you know, that don't share their religion or don't share their beliefs and everything, you know. And this is what killing America.
David, I've got a question for you. Maybe you can answer this. The people that have come over here, the Latin Americans in Florida, the Cubans in Florida, the Haitians in Florida. How did they end up being so Trumpy? I don't understand it. They came from countries that Trump is trying to create.
Let's put it this way. The Mariel boat crisis back in 1981, when Fidel Castro opened all the prisons, filled the boats with prostitutes and the dregs of the Cuban society, he sent them over to Miami in droves. And that's when the law was changed to say, hey, Reagan, who was pro-immigration, him and Bush, Pappy Bush, you know, and say, hey, okay, come. And then there was this law, the wet for dry for policy. And, you know, within 2 weeks, you had, the Cubans had welfare. They had a house to live in. And, you know, they had time to, like, you know, find a job or find a skill to make money. And they're forever beholden to Reagan and Republicans for helping them, you know, even though they're running from a tyranny that was Fidel Castro and communism, to come to America for a better life, for freedom. But over the years since Reagan, the Republican Party keep going further right, like Meloni in Italy, for example. You know, further right you go. And, you know, some Cubans think that you're white because they may look white and everything, but they're not, you know, ethnically white, you know. And with the Haitians, no. The Haitians are black people, so to hell with them. You know, they believe in voodoo and witchcraft. They don't share our religion. They don't share our values. They don't eat our same foods and everything. They speak a different language barrier, you know, and hell, they're black. So, you know, once they come from tyranny, you say, okay, just turn them back and send them back to Haiti, where a lot of them get killed, you know? So it's all about, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's about this ultra-nationalist idea that, you know, if you come from Europe or if you're white, and yeah, come on in, be part of us. You share our values or customs or ideals, which is like European, basically. You know, like Norway, you know, if you're from Norway or Sweden or one of those, you know, Anglo-Saxon white countries, you're free to come. You're welcome. If you're black from a poor nation, a third world country, then go back. Don't even bother coming. You know, the shithole countries. You know, Donald Trump is just a symptom of the problem. It's been there for years now. And America's found on racism and war. And now it's just coming to a head with Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Lori, you've been quiet. Why so quiet? How come?
I'm just listening.
Okay. So now the traditionalist conservative. Go ahead, Lori.
I would like to talk about the conservative Supreme Court, if I could.
Okay.
There's a hearing that's going to be going on, and the Supreme Court justices are considering weakening the federal agency power, which, once again, will take away power, like, from the president. So a 40-year-old Supreme Court precedent that over the years has become a bugbear on the right because it is viewed as bolstering the power of federal agencies came under tough scrutiny Wednesday as the current justices considered whether to overturn it. The court, which has a 6-3 conservative majority, skeptical of broad assertions of federal agency authority, heard two related cases involving fishery regulation that call into question whether the 1984 ruling in Chevron versus Natural Resources Defense Council should be consigned to history. Based on the length of 3.5-hour oral argument Wednesday, some conservative members of the court appeared to be leaning towards overturning the Chevron precedent, although it's unclear whether they have a clear majority to do so. Ironically, at the time it was decided, Chevron was a win for the deregulatory efforts of the Reagan administration. With the court ruling, the judges should defer to federal agencies in interpreting the law when the language of the statute is ambiguous. So the ruling allows the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA as we know it, to move forward with a Clean Air Act regulation that was favorable to polluting facilities, much to their displeasure of environmental groups that had wanted the court to give the agency less leeway. So Justice Brett Kavanaugh, another conservative, asked why Chevron precedent should get the normal respect that longstanding rulings do, questioning the precedent on the grounds that it does not promote stability in the law because it allows agencies to constantly change positions depending on who's in charge. The reality of how this works is Chevron itself ushers in shocks to the system every 48 years when a new administration comes in, he said. So the liberal justices strongly defended the status quo, with Justice Elena Kagan giving practical examples of when it might be better for the court to defer to an agency's expertise, such as whether a cholesterol-lowering product should be classified as a dietary supplement or sometimes laws run out. Sometimes there's a gap. sometimes there's a genuine ambiguity, she said. Justice Brown Jackson, another liberal, made a similar point, saying Chevron helps courts stay away from policy making. So I'm just kind of wondering how all of this is going to turn out. You know, these environmental groups that are on the left side, you know, they ruling in places so agencies can tackle difficult issues like climate change and, you know, stuff like that. And but yet, you know, I don't know what these conservative judges are going to end up doing. And, you know, climate change and is let's say Chevron is probably part of what's wrong with our climate. You know, all these years with the drought and everything, you know, everything's going to hell. So, we'll see what happens with this. I don't know how it's gonna turn out, but it'll be interesting to find out. You know?
Yeah, how I see it, Laura and everybody, is that it's like the rest on how Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Amy Coney Barrett vote, and both are members of the conservative majority. They didn't appear when these oral arguments were being made. And, you know, but being conservative as they are, I bet they're eager to overturn Chevron's, as their other colleagues, Alito and Clarence Thomas and Gorsuch.
Yeah.
You know, so, but Justice Amy Coney Barrett expressed concern about disruptive consequences of overturning the precedent, you know, and is she being disingenuous or is she really concerned about the disruptive consequences? I don't think she's really concerned.
Do you trust any of them? I don't, especially the conservative ones. I don't trust any of them.
Especially her and Clarence Thomas. And we have to keep in mind, though, we have to say who, you know, who given what gifts to who on the Supreme Court, because there's no regulation on the Supreme Court. Look what happened with Clarence Thomas, taking all those free trips with that billionaire and everything. And he had cases in front of him, you know? So when these conservative judges, you know.
No, they're no longer, you know, when we used to think about the Supreme when I used to think about the Supreme Court, I trusted them back and I did. I thought, boy, if that case makes it to the Supreme Court, you know, it'll be interesting because they seem to be fair, nonpartisan, and, you know, their rules were, you know. But, now, I don't trust Thomas at all. I mean, what the guy has done, and especially his wife being involved in January the 6th, you know, the insurrection. Oh, and she, no one has talked about that. No one has said anything about that. It's a shame, really. You know, she's just better than anybody else. And that's the other part. You know, if you're a Republican, and you're a so-called conservative, why is it that you can get away with more? You know? It's not right. It's not right. I mean, she should be questioned as anybody else. I don't care if you're, you know, Thomas's wife. I don't give a shit who you are. If you do what you do and you do something wrong, you know, I mean, there's proof that she was on the phone, you know? I mean, she didn't want to certify the election either, you know? I mean,
through text messages. So and why is she... yeah, you know, why haven't the Republican House, you know, called her to testify publicly or behind closed doors? You know, because they know they're messed up.
You know, let's compare this a second. Look what they're doing to Hunter Biden, who is not... has nothing to do with government, doesn't work in the government. The only connection he has is his father, and they have dragged him through the cold. This poor man, and I'm sorry, I call him a poor man because he's struggled with drug addiction, and that's a hard thing to get over, and whatever else he struggled with in his life, all right? And here we have Clarence Thomas's wife, who we know had something to do with the insurrection. We know that she was on the phone with, you know, a lot of these higher uppers. I'm not going to name names because I, you know, I can't say for sure, but we know. And the thing is that not a word about her. They haven't dragged her through any cult. They haven't called her up to testify. Nothing. Why is there? Why is the system so messed up that way? Why is it so? It's not equal. It's not right. You know, they're trying to ruin Biden's life.
Reason being it's not equal is because 1% own the media. That's the only reason I can think of where, the rich 1% and the control of narrative.
You know, David, I don't even look at it that way. I look at it as if you are supposedly a conservative Republican, you want the rule of the law and, you know, you are for law and order and all this other BS crap, because that's all it is, then why haven't you done something about Dini Thomas? Why? Why not? I mean, why haven't they brought Clarence Thomas and talked to him? Why haven't they? No, they haven't. They have just washed their hands because why? Because they're conservative Republicans. That's why. And, Hunter Biden is the president's son, for God's sake. It's just
sickening. Well, you know something about the Republican Party? They've morphed into this beast that you don't recognize anymore, and all about vengeance and retribution, you know. And if you go against them one time, like, for example, Congressman Buck in Colorado, you know, where he asked a simple question that, like, bowled them over, you know, there's no patriots on January 6th, you know, and he was saying basically that, you know, Biden won the election. And I guess that's blasphemy in the Republican Party of today, you know. And Congressman Buck has been threatened, bomb scare. They refuse to, like, rent him out property to run his congressional office from. And that's why the man retired. Don't get me wrong. He's just as bad as the others in the Republican Party who, you know, refuse to stand to Donald Trump and everything. And since he's on his way out now, that's when he's starting to talk. You know, he had power as a chairman of whatever committee he was a part of. You know, Jeff Flake, the former senator from Arizona, the same thing. You know, I mean, that's why people, like, have a distaste for politics, and the independent voters, 44%, are probably more now because, you know, these politicians are not like a Theodore Roosevelt or a Bernie Sanders, even, where they stick to something and it's on message for years and don't change with the tide. You get what I'm saying? And we'll have that problem within the Democratic Party as well. You know, let's call a spade a spade. You know, we need better leaders. You know, and not just go where the winds blow.
And, you know, as far as the judicial system, I'm starting to think it's a two-tier system. I mean, I think it's a two-tier system. I can say that now because watching Trump every single freaking day, and all they do is slap him on the wrist because they're afraid of the backlash that they're going to get from this this impotent man. It's disgusting. If someone had the balls to put his butt in prison or in jail for a week, maybe he shut his mouth. It's just so sad that this country has come to. We are showing young people what they can get away with if you're Donald Trump. That's what they're showing. That is what they're showing people. They are showing people that if you bully and you lie and you cheat and you steal and you rape and you have, affairs and everything else, you can still be president. Hell, who cares? Who cares? And we might even get him in a second term. And even if you have 91 indictments, who cares? Come on. You can be president.
Right.
I don't see the insurrection. Mm-hmm. That wasn't an insurrection.
Was
come on.
It was
you didn't see
yeah.
that. I
mm-hmm.
mean,
mm-hmm.
this is what I'm talking about. My frustration is beyond my being able to talk anymore because I've got so much in my head all the time, and it's just so maddening that I've had to back away a little bit. I've had to because
mm-hmm.
it is so unfair. Like the E. Jean Carroll
mm-hmm.
case. My God,
mm-hmm.
that lawyer that he has, that Hannah, whatever her name is, with Alba, what is her name? Alba Hannah or something like that?
Yeah, whatever her name is. She's stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
the judge actually asked her, did you practice law 101? I mean,
mm-hmm.
she's up there arguing when the jury already made up their mind that he is guilty of sexual assault. They're trying to figure out, because of
unreal.
Defamation, how much more
mm-hmm.
money he's got to pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
it's not only sexual assault,
like
but actual rape. But actual rape.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just sexual assault, the first thing,
no,
$5 million,
right,
sexual assault, and rape.
Yes.
That's what a judge himself say. You know,
right.
So,
but what
you
I'm
know,
trying
it's not
to say is that she's up there arguing, David, like there's a trial going on. These people
mm-hmm,
have already
mm-hmm.
made their minds. That's not what they're there
mm-hmm.
for.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
is what I mean. It's just ridiculous. She should have been
mm-hmm,
taken
mm-hmm.
out of there. She's not a good lawyer.
Mm-hmm,
she has
mm-hmm.
no idea.
Yeah, to me, she's just a showboater, and she's an entertainer, an entertaining artist. But she's not really serious about law. And, you know, she's just another pretty face that, you know, said that she's Trump's lawyer. Who knows if she's getting paid to begin with? You know, that's the thing. Who knows if she's getting paid?
Who cares? Who really cares? I don't care. She wants to spend every day kissing his butt. Let her do it. But come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. You know,
mm-hmm.
she's up there
well,
arguing.
I don't care either. Listen, I don't
decisions.
Care either. But his history has shown that Donald Trump don't pay people, you know, when they work
of
for
course.
Him. So if she decides
well,
to take a case,
lawyer,
then that's on her.
Yeah. I think another lawyer quit the other day. Probably didn't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares if she gets
yeah.
paid? I care less.
Mm-hmm.
I care less.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to spend her
mm-hmm.
days like that? Let her. You know, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell would
yeah.
want to hire her after she tried to defend Trump like this? Who would hire
mm-hmm.
her? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God, maybe there are people that will hire her. I don't know. I just think,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have stuff so low in this country. It's just so sad. You know, when you have people that say, you know, I don't think the insurrection was a big deal. I didn't even pay attention to it. When you hear
mm-hmm.
people say that, are you serious? They tried to overturn
mm-hmm.
our government. Do you understand
mm-hmm.
what that means? And then they
mm-hmm.
call them, what do they call the ones that are in prison right now? They call them hostages?
Right.
Come on. They're hostages?
Mm-hmm.
No. They're prisoners. They broke the law.
They're traitors.
Tried to overturn
the
government.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, Joe Biden, you know, I want a president who's cool from the outside but burn from the inside for America. You
mm-hmm.
know? And, you know, Joe Biden, you know, rolled up his sleeves from day one,
mm-hmm.
did something about COVID, did something about boosting the economy, did something
mm-hmm.
about helping people, regenerated the economy, get, you know, work and everything, work-wise, job-wise.
Yeah.
Within 2 years, he has never made a big impact. No president has made such a big impact in his first 2 years since FDR. You know,
yes.
And with this Chevron case going up in the Supreme Court and everything,
mm-hmm.
You know, deregulation need more corporate money. And with
yes.
corporations controlling the Republican Party, that's what they care about.
Mm-hmm.
With a conservative majority in the court who get gifts, lavish gifts and vacations and what have you, they're just
mm-hmm.
for themselves. And when would people learn that, you know, call yourself conservative, you know, whether you're in the Supreme Court or, you know, you're a politician or you're for corporations or work in a corporation or very filthy rich individual, then they're just looking out for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, wake up, people, and stop voting Republican, because they do not care about you. They do not care about you. They show time and time again that they haven't cared for you, and they'll never care for you. But in a layman's mind, he's saying one of these days that could be me. You know, my grandfather was a Republican, so, you know, I should be a Republican as well. And the Republican Party of Eisenhower and Lincoln and whomever else don't exist anymore. You know, it's morphed into a far-right lunatic fringe wing party that Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini and even Maloney in Italy, the current prime minister, would be proud of. You know, that's it's just maddening, you know. And the Republican Party risks, you know, being a fringe party and going out in existence because of these wedge issues like, you know, guns and gays and God by bringing religion in it. You know, they refuse to evolve. You know, and that's why the Democratic Party is looking more and more like America, where you have Hispanic, you have Jews, you have blacks, you have whites, you have purple, green, orange, pink, of every persuasion, you know, sexually, religiously, non-religiously, whatever. We're an open, you know, inclusive party. Republicans are mostly white men, where women should know the place. Religious dogma rule them. Money is the end-all and be-all. You know, so the Republican Party is just withering into nothingness. And then as a Democrat, I don't mind that. But the thing is, America will suffer. We need, you know, not only a two-party system, but a multi-party system. And get rid of the Electoral College. Because the Electoral College is an outdated racist system that were against black people voting and against women. You know, if you didn't have land and if you were a white man who owned property, then that's how you vote in Electoral College. You know, that system should have been gone since FDR first term. So,
you know, the thing is people have to understand that this election is not only, you know, to elect another president. It's just not like any other election that I can remember, because this election is going to either make us a Hitler-type country, or it's going to let us keep going the way we are and getting better and stronger and the economy getting better and our environment getting better and things like that. It's either one or the other. You don't have – it's not like the Republicans of the old days, you know, okay, you know, some of their – things, okay, I can understand they were different. But I've always been a Democrat, which that's my choice. But what I'm trying to say is that this party right now is not the Republican Party anymore. It's the Trump Party. It is the party of authority. They're going to destroy our democracy. Our democracy is actually on the ballot. That's what should be on the ballot. Check it if you want democracy. If you don't want democracy, don't vote. I mean, that's just how it should be. It's, how else do you explain to people how important this election is? Okay, if you don't like Joe Biden, I'm sorry, but suck it up for 4 years. We had to suck Trump up for four freaking years. I don't care. You know, and we've sucked him up ever since, and he's not president. He's an idiot. And so from that, I just, you know, when they talk about Project 2025, and I think we need to talk about that more. And the reason I want to talk about it more, maybe not tonight so much, but we do, is because people have to understand what's at stake. They have already made plans. It is already, they said in 800 days, they will, if Trump wins, in 800 days, we will roll out this plan. That's all it's going to take. I think was it 80 days? I have to read it again. They're going to roll out this plan. And this plan is not democratic at all. It's not a democracy. They're going to take away all your rights for many things. So how do we explain this to people? How? I mean, It's so. I don't know what the word.
Okay,
to use
so I will try to explain it. They're bringing cultural conservatism and social conservatism, and they want to maintain a status quo or a cultural heritage. You know, if you want to be in America, then do American things. What white people do, basically, you know, but adopt the cultural heritage of America and forget where you're coming from. It's like a divergent as Western culture, where the United States, in terms of cultural conservative, may imply a conservative position in culture wars. We'll see Ron DeSantis in Florida with the culture wars. We'll see many of them trying to push this culture war thing. And it fell flat in 2022, for example. Cultural conservatives hold fast to traditional ways of thinking, even in the face of monumental change, strongly believing in traditional values and traditional politics. So, again, it comes back to traditional values. I talk about family values and what have you, but I'm not practicing what I preach. You get what
no,
I'm saying?
What family values do they have? They don't care about the family because they don't even want to give them a free lunch or a free breakfast, for God's sake. So how is that a family value? It's not. It's not even having any empathy for anybody that's not like you, that maybe doesn't have the money you have. Maybe they can't afford to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, you should have empathy in your life. You should have empathy. Feel sorry for somebody. Try to help somebody. Try to tie their shoe. Do something, for God's sake. Punish them.
There's something I just thought of listening to both of you talk. Every time they say something, they turn it around. Family values, and then what they say is there's people out there that don't need the food, and we're giving them the food. We're giving. They are now throwing a new term out there, redistribution of wealth. Nobody is redistributing anybody's wealth. That was done by Hitler. Hitler took the people, the Jewish people who were successful, and he put them in a ghetto, and then they took. Then he told the neighborhood, "Go in and take what you want." And I'm beginning to think that this is exactly what's going on now. They're talking about redistributional wealth. Are they going to go into brown, black, yellows people's houses and put them in a concentration camp and tell the neighborhood, "We'll go in there and take what you need"? Dawned on me by listening to both of you talking. And Rachel Maddow kept saying on quite a few of her episodes, listen to what they say and then listen to what they do. Something on that order.
Or see what they do compared to what they say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and what they are saying is the truth. You know, they want to, defund the Department of Justice, dismantle the FBI, break up the Department of Homeland Security, eliminate Departments of Education, Commerce, the 30 chapter. I mean, it's a 920-page fiasco is what it is.
Three elections ago, when we had a debate, and I can't think of his name, but he was a little short guy with dark hair and glasses from Texas, and they asked him what department would he like to eliminate in Washington, and one of them was the Department of Education.
Of course.
What was his name?
Because it goes along with barefoot and pregnant and uneducated, so that they can tell you what to do and when to do it. That's why. Keep them just that
way. Elaine, are you thinking about Governor Perry, the former Energy Secretary?
Governor Perry, yes. Governor Perry. I'll never forget that debate. There's certain things that will stick out in my mind. And when he, one of them was the Department of Education, then he couldn't name the other two that he wanted to eliminate.
Yeah. And one of the departments he wanted to eliminate. Can I make a point?
Sorry.
One of the departments that he wanted to eliminate was the Department of Energy. And when George W. Bush came to the presidency, he became the Secretary of Energy. So, you know, I mean, this dismantling of government has been happening even before George W. Bush, you know?
Yep.
We saw it with the education secretary in Reagan administration. Oh, God, what's his name? I'm looking at him right now. Bill William. Oh, Jesus Christ. What's that man's name? I can't remember. He was the education secretary under Reagan, and he wanted to eliminate the Department of Education, but yet still Reagan appointed him the Department of Education secretary. You know, so you know, these Republicans are so contradictory and confusing. You know, and they just throw words out there that sound good, and the media sound bites and everything, and it's up to us. You know, and the electorate, the people who vote, say, hey, let's just parse through the words, let's listen to what they're saying, and let's, you know, try to understand what they're trying to say compared to what
What did they do in Michigan? They elected, what did Trump do? He put Betsy DeVos to Department of Education. Mm-hmm. What did she do? She screwed up education real good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe they didn't eliminate the department, but they eliminated it a different way. They put an asshole in to direct it, and then they dismantle it.
Yeah. And God forbid Trump win a second term because, you know, word on the street, he said it in one of his Nazi type rallies where Trump was saying, oh, you know, if I become president again, or when I become president again, Robert Kennedy Jr. would be made a director of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, or the CDC. And the CDC, you know that Robert Kennedy Jr. is anti-vax. So imagine him being the head of the CDC, for example.
No.
You know, that he was just, Republicans mean, they don't mean anything good to America. Or today's Republican Party. At least good ones, you know, are semi-decent ones like Chris Christie and Governor Chris Sununu in New Hampshire. And, you know, Hogan, former Governor of Maryland, the moderates. At least they care enough for America to be not so adamant in wanting the ways that try to work with Democrats. Not saying that they're perfect, not saying that they're 100% good, because Chris Christie is a louse, as far as I'm concerned. But what he's saying make perfect sense, you know? Okay, so we'll have 20 minutes to go on the show. It's been a riveting conversation. We want to thank Keller for calling in. I guess you have to go on anything. If you want to call, don't be shy. We're still here. 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from. You know, and we don't bite hard unless you're a Trump Republican. Then, you know, we chew you up and spit you out because we're not, you know, tolerating foolishness and the troll argument that you want to bring every time you call this show. So, yeah, Lori, you want to make a point? You're saying something?
No, I'm good. I'm just trying to find, I think they did make a temporary deal on the budget tonight.
Well, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan and whoever else, they said they'll vote no with this budget deal, because Trump said, you know, that the speaker should not make the deal, because at every point he wants Joe Biden to fail. He said it in an interview.
He did.
Yeah.
And they did. I have it right here. Congress has approved a short-term funding bill to avoid shutdown, and they're sending the measure to Biden. So it's going to, let's see, the House cleared the continuing resolution in a bipartisan 314-108 vote Thursday afternoon. Mm-hmm. The Senate voted 77-18 to approve it earlier in the day. We have good news for America, and there will not be a shutdown on Friday, said Chuck Schumer, who is, of course, a New York Democrat, on the Senate mm-hmm. floor ahead of the vote. It's precisely what Americans want to see, both sides working together and governing responsibly, no chaos, no spectacle, no shutdown. So this ought to be interesting because, mm-hmm. you know, the MAGA side, of course, I'll vote. So we know that. So, mm-hmm. And I think this resolution is good. They're going to be fully funded. The government's fully funded till the beginning of March. And then mm-hmm. they'll have to do it again. But at mm-hmm. least for now, that's one less thing that President, I look at it this way. It's one less thing that President Biden has to worry about right now. You know,
yeah.
He doesn't have to worry about a government shutdown. Now, is Johnson in trouble? More than likely, yeah, he's going to have some good trouble probably,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Marjorie Taylor Greene already said, you know, she wants to get rid of him. So who cares about
mm-hmm.
her anyway?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Johnson, trust me, but at least he mm-hmm. has enough sense to,
mm-hmm.
you know, do a work bipartisan, work with the Democrats, and at least, you know, come up with something until March. I mean, it's better than nothing. It's better than
mm-hmm.
shutting down the government. So I have to hand
mm-hmm.
them that.
Mm-hmm.
Hand them. That is it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know,
man. So do you think that the Republican Party would ever come back to, you know, being somewhat progressive in their thinking? Because, you know, progressive conservatism, example, Theodore Roosevelt with his Square Deal, William Howard Taft, he was a progressive conservative. He described himself as a believer of progressive conservatism. Dwight Eisenhower also declared
mm-hmm.
himself an advocate for progressive conservatism.
Mm-hmm.
And what progressive conservatism, Nelson Rockefeller is one of those progressive conservatives, you know,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, they believe in the social safety net for people who are poor and they're struggling. They believe in the middle class and building a stronger middle class and everything. You know, do you
mm-hmm.
think that era in the Republican Party will ever come back, or is it way too late?
Well, if they
have a true...
clean out the Republican Party that we have right now
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
clean house, then maybe it's a possibility. You never
mm-hmm.
know. But it's hard to know because depending on who's in there, I mean, what we have now is a mess, and we know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the MAGA Republicans are there only to destroy. They're not there to do anything for the country.
Mm-hmm. They're fascists. They're fascists.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they're.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what they want. They
mm-hmm.
want to be fascist government. They want to have
mm-hmm.
power and control over people. They want to carry the big stick. How else can you put it? You know.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, how I see it is Donald Trump would be the figurehead, and just like General Augusto Pinochet, who ruled Chile from 1973 to 1990 during the Cold War,
mm-hmm.
he was a right-wing military dictator, and a lot of prominent Latin America dictatorships grew out of that era when the Cold War was going on. So in the 21st century, authoritarian style of government experienced a worldwide renaissance with conservative statesmen like Putin in Russia, Erdogan in Turkey, Orban in Hungary,
mm-hmm.
Modi in India, and like I said earlier, Meloni in Italy, and Le Pen
mm-hmm.
in France almost won the presidency for France against Emmanuel Macron a couple of years back. So there's this resurgence of right-wing authoritarian style politics leading towards dictatorship. We can avoid this America by voting for candidates who have a burning passion to make America go forward, you know, and working for a common good where we have a stronger middle class, we have stronger education, we have stronger EPA regulations. We can, you know, like look at Wall Street and regulate Wall Street. This has never been done in the history of America. Why not? You know? So, you know, we have to come together and work together as one, you know, so everybody can reap the fruits, you know.
As long as there is in corporations that do not have to pay tax, and as long as, you know, the CEOs can make billions every year, you're never going to see that. That's a dream.
Yeah. And what they're trying to do is what they're trying to do in the Republican Party is have a theocracy, basically. Religious conservatism have a stranglehold since the moral majority when Reagan came in. And religious conservatives principally apply the teachings of particular religions to politics like Christianity, mainly. Sometimes they're merely proclaiming the value of those teachings. At other times, by having those teachings influence law. Like Lauren Boebert, during the summer, last summer, she was speaking at some religious conference saying the government should be out of church affairs and the church, based on the Bible, should be creating laws. I mean, what the hell is that? You know, in most democracies, political conservatism seeks to uphold traditional family structures and social values, but religious conservatives typically oppose abortion, LGBTQ rights, and drug use, and sexual activity outside marriage. And how ironic, you know, sexual activity outside marriage. Kristen Noem, she is the governor of South Dakota, and this Trump advisor, I can't remember his name right now, both of them married and out in the open having an affair. Now, remember, these people claim to be religious. Corey Lewandowski, there you go. They claim to be religious. They claim to be, you know, they're Christians, but yet still they behave in such way, you know. So conservatives seek to increase the role of religion in public life. And, you know, these people who are preaching it, not practicing it. And we should show them an example, make them an example, I mean, by voting them out in 2024 in November. Because religious dogma has no place in American politics. That's what ruined the whole damn thing. From Fred Cope days right till now. And read Claire Connor's book, Wrapped in a Flag. You have to read that, America, Wrapped in a Flag. It's a good book. You know? We deserve better than this. And again, I make that statement. America deserves better. I make it almost every show. Because these religious nuts out there, I mean, believe what you all believe, but just don't try to ram it down my throat or anybody else's throat. I'm the first one, you know, protesting. If anybody, whether Democrat or Republican, try to infringe your right to believe whatever religion you are, you know, God, that's freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of thought. But we're just asking you not to ram it down our throats or try to put it in government. If you want theocracy, go to Iran. If you want theocracy, go to any Middle Eastern country. And look how good it's working for them. You know? In Iran, you know, they're killing women daily because women striking out now, not wearing a hijab on over the heads. All sorts of things happening in Iran now. Why? Because people are sick and tired of being controlled by their government, their theocracy, their theoretical government. You know, if that comes to America, the whole place will turn upside down even worse. And not probably, but definitely there'll be a civil war. You know, I feel it's coming. And I think we're in the spells of World War III already because look at the different conflicts in the world. Israel versus Hamas. You have the whole Middle Eastern almost blowing up now because of the whole Israel bombing the living shit out of Gaza and trying to run the people off the land. You have Ukraine being invaded by Russia. You have China having border clash with India. You're having China working with Putin and Russia. And if Putin is allowed to appeasement, then who knows? Would he invade Poland next? Would he invade Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, who's just next door? Would he invade Germany? Because Germany have bad blood with Russia since the Tsar days, Peter the Great, till now. You know, it's like a back and forth between these two nations. They really hate each other, you know. And Putin is trying to rebuild the Soviet Union. So we can't appease this asshole. We cannot appease this asshole. And he's controlling Trump. He has secrets for Trump. Yep. And a Russian mob is controlling Trump. And anybody out there who tell me, oh, no, Trump is just being Trump and he doesn't really mean what he says. You saw the first four years in office where he was vengeful, vindictive, all about himself, all about making money for him and his family. You know, when his daughter was there in the White House, not qualified, and, you know, her husband, Jared Kushner, couldn't get a clearance by the State Department because of shady dealings. Yep. And his sons, his idiotic sons. But because of nepotism, they got jobs there at the White House and made billions of dollars. Now imagine if a Democrat did that, whether it's Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, whoever. You know, the hypocrisy needs to stop. It has to stop. America is sick and tired of this garbage, and we don't deserve such things. You know, we deserve better. I think Naz is calling from Atlanta. I'm not sure. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight?
Yeah, this is me, man. This is Naz. How y'all doing?
Naz, what's up, man?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've been listening from the start of the show. But, yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm getting in late, man. I just saw the title, and I understand what you guys are talking about now, but I just wanted to add something to the title before you guys got out. And this is just something that was kind of popular on social media for a while, but to me it's been kind of the best description of modern conservatives. I can't even give credit because I can't remember who it was I read this from, but basically he said conservatives believe in in-groups who the law protects but does not bind, and out-groups who the law does not protect but does bind. And that, to me, is the best explanation you can get to for modern conservatism and what it is. So this authoritarian police state for those who they otherize and look at as the people who are the problem, but for themselves, they believe not only is the law just an impediment, but the law should always be working in their favor and allowing them to grift and do everything else they want to do and create, you know, this corporatocracy that we all should be happy to live under. So, yeah, that's
right.
You're absolutely right,
Naz. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
You know, the whole double standard. So, you know, what do you think about, you know, Trump misbehaving and being an awful boy in court where he's throwing up his arms and, like, back-talking the judge and trying to intimidate E. Jean Carroll and everything? If it were a regular person, they'd be thrown in jail for contempt of court. And time again, Donald Trump keep doing this, and no repercussions, no judge saying, okay, enough, you know, a couple of days for you in a slammer. You know, why does he get away with such bullshit? Why?
I think because the judges are kind of looking at the situation as it is. Now again, a former president in court, this is a special situation, so he's going to get special consideration. But the other part of it is they can kind of see the con he's running. Like, he's clearly going to lose his case no matter what. That's already been determined. He's got to pay out a certain amount of money. But he can use as a rallying cry to his base, oh, look, the kangaroo threw me out of the court.
Yep.
Or they're trying to lock me up and sanction. And he would use that to try to rally his base. So I think the judge is just saying, no, I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to tell you to shut up, but I'm not going to give you what you actually want, which is the perp walk and your ability to try to monetize it and make T-shirts and coins and cards and all that other stuff to continue to grip from your silly base. So, yeah, I just think They're trying to figure out the best way they can. We're in uncharted territory. Former president, mm-hmm. you know, in court day after day after day because this mm-hmm. man is just addicted to committing crimes.
Mm-hmm. But do you think if, not if, but when he's found guilty in these four, well, in this trial, do you think he'll get jail time or do you think it'll spark a civil war? What's your thoughts on that?
Who cares?
I don't think you can handle things with the idea of you're scared of a civil war, the idea that somebody's that much of a threat. For the most part, these people who say what they're going to do online, all that tough talk, for the most part, that's all it's going to be, tough talk, because as you and I both know, when those drones fly over and they send mm-hmm. those soldiers out there, all that tough talk, mm-hmm. that stuff goes out the window. They're not going to actually do mm-hmm. anything. But mm-hmm. I don't think you can sit a former president in jail. The worst I could think of is think of Arafat in the 90s. Remember when he was on house mm-hmm. arrest over
yeah.
the Middle East? I think, like, mm-hmm. yeah, if he gets convicted and things, you know, go south, I think house arrest, mm-hmm. I think that's the most I could see. But I don't mm-hmm. think you can put a former president in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing with that, Nas, he lives on a resort. What sort of house arrest that, you know, what sort of house arrest
yeah.
is that?
Yep.
That's like, you know, everybody come visit him.
Put him in a 900-square-foot room. That's what mm-hmm. I think.
Well, look, a palace can become a prison as well. Ask Napoleon when he was on Ebola Island. Like, look,
mm-hmm.
when you become mm-hmm. isolated, and let's be honest, all the billionaire talk he doesn't actually have
mm-hmm.
that money. And when you're having
mm-hmm.
cases, and, you know, I'm assuming these are lawyers, you're talking about, what, $1,000 an hour, billable hours?
Mm-hmm.
Case after case after case?
Mm-hmm.
Could he keep the lights on in Mar-a-Lago after this? I know he would try to do a radio show and, you know, grift from his base or whatever, but, you know, that would be hand-to-mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
this dude owes a lot of people a lot of money, and I'm not
mm-hmm.
so sure he's as solvent as he says he is, and who knows what happens
mm-hmm.
if they ever go into that Kushner, you know, money from some of the
Saudis,
if that ever gets frozen. Yeah, who knows
yep.
what happens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I just want some real harsh punishment thrown towards Donald Trump and for him to suffer, you know? Because up till now, he's just been, you know, slapped on the wrist or admonished by the judges and what have you. And his poll numbers keep rising. That's a cause of concern, you know?
Yeah,
it's
but
really,
I think an important point is where the polling is coming from. And
mm-hmm.
what sample size they're using. Because if you're using a Republican
right.
base, yeah, he's extremely popular within that base.
Mm-hmm.
But you put
mm-hmm.
that base across the if you do that polling across the whole American map, that base
mm-hmm.
really changes. Because then you're talking
mm-hmm.
about a small slice of America, so it's not
mm-hmm.
so overwhelming. But
right.
ultimately, just the danger of him is, if he's not punished heavily enough,
mm-hmm.
a much smarter person, a much more astute politician, who can
mm-hmm.
kind of follow this blueprint, they can do a lot
mm-hmm.
more damage. And to me, that's
yep.
true.
Part of all of this.
True.
Yep.
True. Yeah.
They would
all right, so that has
door.
To be the last word because we have mm-hmm. 90 seconds left. Nas, thank you so much from Atlanta for calling in.
Thank you.
Yes.
Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll
all
be
right.
on again Sunday, and hopefully you can call in. Khalil from the Commonwealth of Virginia, thank you so much for making a contribution in Elaine. Thank you for calling in. It was a spirited
mm-hmm.
conversation about what does it mean to be a conservative in America today. This has been season 6, episode 27. This has been Kitchen Politics for Thursday, January 18th, 2024. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And I just wanted to wish Michelle Obama a happy 60th birthday.
Yes, yes, indeed. She don't look a day over 25, but happy 60th
no.
birthday, Michelle Obama, and hopefully you'll reconsider running for public office because we need somebody to really take on these Republicans that suck. All right, so we'll see you
yep.
Sunday, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Till then, we'll leave you at Fleetwood Mac. Don't stop.
the sun rises, we raise the flag, a symbol of all that we hold most dear as Americans. Courage, opportunity, democracy, freedom. They're the values and beliefs that built this country and still beat in our hearts. But they're under attack by an extreme movement that seeks to overturn elections, ban books, and eliminate a woman's right to choose. Joe Biden has made defending our basic freedoms the cause of his presidency. The freedom for women to make their own health care decisions. The freedom for our children to be safe from gun violence. The freedom to vote and have your vote counted. For seniors to live with dignity. And to give every American the freedom that comes with a fair shot at building a good life. In small towns and big cities, we raise our heads, our eyes, our hearts for America, for the idea of this great country. Joe Biden is running for re-election to make certain that the sun will not set on this flag. The promise of American democracy will not break.
Democracy must not be a partisan issue. It's an American issue. As your president, I will defend our democracy with every fiber of my being, and I'm asking every American to join me.
For freedom, for democracy, for America, Joe Biden.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message. Economic plan is about investing in places and people that have been forgotten. It's about making things here in America again. It's about good jobs. It's about the dignity of work. And it's about damn time we're doing it.
Joe Biden is determined to reward hard work. That's why he passed historic laws that rebuild our roads and bridges, invest in our factories, and bring back American manufacturing. Over 12 million jobs have been created, and Joe Biden's building an economy that leaves no city, no town, no American behind.
We're investing in places and people that have been forgotten. They've been invisible, but we haven't forgotten. We're building an economy from the bottom up and the middle out, where no one's going to be left behind.
Joe Biden, a president for all Americans.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.